All right. So we are holding on Chof Beis Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. Okay. The last Mishnah had told us the rules about Shchita versus Malika. Shchita has to be done from the front of the neck and B'dievir, or according to Rashi, even L'Hatchila, it can be done from the side. Malika only from the back. So therefore, we said the result is that you have kosher. The Mishnah had summarized and said that kosher b'shchita possible b'malika. What's kosher by shchita would be possible by malika, namely the side of the neck. And we said also we want to say that also includes another detail over there that it also includes.
Okay,
we discussed exactly what other details that includes. It includes. It talks about the part of the neck, but we also talked about, hagroma, we talked about maybe the question of ikur, anyway, and vice versa, what's kosher by malika is possible by shchita. So now the rest of the Mishnayos in our perek go according to the same structure. Keep in mind, Mishnayos originally were learned Baal Peh, so it was helpful to put together Mishnayos that have a similar structure, even when otherwise they have nothing on the surface to do with the Masechta, just because it made them easier to remember. So this Mishnah and the following Mishnayos are all going to be of that structure. What's kosher by this is possible by that, and vice versa.
Okay, so the Mishnah says,
kosher b'tur and possible b'nei yonah. What is, now you have like this, the Torah tells us that there are two types of birds and only two types that you can bring as a carbon. They're called turim and b'nei yonah. In modern terms, they're called turtle doves and common doves.
Right.
And there are different rules for each one, as we'll see in the Gemara. Different ages or different stages of development when one versus the other one is kosher for a carbon. That's what we're going to discuss. Hold on. Yeah, we're going to discuss. So kosher by turin, possible by bnei yonah. So what is kosher by turin in terms of age is possible by bnei yonah, and vice versa, kosher by bnei yonah, possible by turin. Because as we'll see in the Gemara, what it is turin has to be, in order to be kosher for carbonas, they have to be adults.
What's the difference?
They're two different types of birds. I mean, they're both, they're
goats,
no? Well, one is a turtle, one is a common dove, and one is a turtle dove. They differ, first of all. A yona is a bit bigger than a, among other things, a yona is bigger than a purr.
How old is a yona?
So we'll see in the Gemara. We'll talk about how old they need to be. But I mean, the Gemara is not going to put it in terms of age. The Gemara is going to put it in terms of certain simanim that you're going to see where you're going to see that it's old enough. But anyway, the point is that turim. Okay, so turim first of all are smaller than bnei yonah. They don't grow quite as large. But you also have those
different species.
There's different species. That's all. Yeah. I mean, they're not even in the same biological family. Doves are Columba, whatever it is, and then turtle doves are Strepsophila or whatever. So yeah, they're actually in different families. But yeah, they're similar enough in general appearance. But those are the only two that are kosher for carbon.
The pigeons that we see here,
the pastures are bnei yonah. The pastures are yonah. Common doves. So turim has to be adult. Bnei yonah has to be before adulthood. So therefore, what would be kosher by turim, namely when they're adults, is possible by bnei yonah, and vice versa. The Mishnah continues. Chilas hatzihuv shebazer bazer possible. When they start developing or growing sihuv feathers, Rashi says sihuv is notza yofa sihuva, beautiful yellow feathers around the neck. Then both of them are possible. So in that case, what it amounts to, as we'll see in the Gemara, is they're sort of at an intermediate, when they start developing those feathers, it means they're at an intermediate stage. They're past babyhood, but not yet to adulthood. So therefore, by both Turim and Bnei Yonah, they'd be possible, because Bnei Yonah are supposed to be babies, and Turim are supposed to be adults. So when they have the Chilas HaTzihuv, when they have these beautiful yellow feathers, I saw somebody, by the way, was talking about, there's a researcher in Israel, Zohar, I think is his last name, or maybe that's his first name, I don't remember, whatever. Anyway, he's done a lot of research into various things about the kosher and non-kosher birds. We'll probably have occasion to mention him later on in the third paragraph when we talk about the simonym of kosher and non-kosher birds. Anyway, whatever, he discusses that you have these birds, I mean, they first have yellow feathers shortly after they're born. If you're going to tell me that once they develop that type of yellow feathers, and it comes out as far as the B'nai Yonah, that they're only kosher for a few days after they're born, it's a little hard to say that. So he explains, therefore, that Chilas HaTzihuv doesn't really mean, and it fits better with the words of Rashi, it doesn't mean yellow, it means like iridescent, kind of not like a solid yellow color, but shiny sort of fluorescent. Right. So that's a later stage. That's when the bird's a couple of months old. Okay. Anyway, so the Gemara starts off. Tanarabonon. Turin means, we learn in a Braisa, to expand on the Mishnah. Turin means gdolim, kshedim, tanim, solim. When it comes to Turin, only the adults are kosher. The baby one's apostle. B'nai Yonah, it's the other way around. Tanim, kshedim, gdolim, solim. Only when they're babies, only when they're young, not babies, whatever, only when they're young, when they're not fully mature, are they kosher. When they're mature, then they're apostles. Nimsa, so it comes out, as our Mishnah said, kosher b'Turin, possible B'nai Yonah, kosher b'Nai Yonah, possible B'Turin. So now we're going to discuss how we know that. Right? So it fits with our Mishnah, yes. So we're going to see the next thing that Gemara is going to discuss is how we get that from the Pesukim. But, yeah, so that's those are the facts. Turin has to be adults, B'Nai Yonah has to be babies. The Ramban, by the way, the Ramban on the Pesuk over there, when it mentions B'nai Turin and B'nai Yonah, he says, why dafka those two and why dafka those ages? He says, first of all, these two are because these birds are easier to catch more than most other kind of birds. So he says similar in the Medrash it says the same idea is that similar to the idea. First of all, you have the idea that the animals that can be brought as korbanos are the ones that are prey, not in Bafal, the ones that are kosher are prey, not predators. That's true as far as both animals and birds. So these are more prey than other ones. He says also they're easier to catch. So in other words, the idea is just like when it comes to animals, Hashem tells us only to bring the domestic ones, only domesticated ones, cows, sheep, and goats, because the Medrash says Hashem didn't want to be matriach, a person to have to go hunt, to go and track animals for korbanos. So the same thing, among the birds, Hashem picked the ones that are the easiest to catch. Then he goes on to say, so what's the idea about Turin having... Yeah, obviously they have that among the kosher birds. Well, but there are a lot of other kosher birds. When you get down to it, we're going to learn later on, when we get to birds and the Samach, of our Masech that we're going to talk about, in principle, most species of birds are kosher. The Torah only lists 24 species that are not. Okay, within them there are subspecies, fine, but still, the majority of birds are kosher. Yes. We just don't eat most of them because we don't have a Masech on, as well as we'll discuss there. But in principle, if we were to know what the simonim are and what the identities of the 24 that I mentioned in the Torah are, in principle, we could eat any other bird. However, among the kosher birds, he says that the Ramban is saying that these doves and turtle doves are the easiest to catch, and therefore Hashem chose them for korbanos. Also, he says, what's the deal that the turtle have to be adults and the B'nai Yonah have to be babies? So he says, like, turtle doves are faithful, turtle doves mate for life. When a male and a female mate, and they stay together for life. So therefore, and even if their mate is killed or otherwise lost, they won't take another mate. So therefore, that represents the faithfulness that the Jewish people and Hashem have to each other. So therefore, with the totem, we want specifically the mature ones because they're the ones that are mature enough to be forming to be mating, to be forming families like that. As far as the regular doves, though, he says, the problem is that they're not so faithful. They're very jealous of each other, and therefore, if one of them, the common dove, B'nai Yonah, therefore, just the opposite. So they, the pigeons, right? So they're jealous of each other, he says, and therefore they may more easily abandon each other. They're not like turtle doves that mate for life. So therefore, Hashem doesn't want the baby. Therefore, Hashem doesn't want the mature Yonim because then that wouldn't. He wants the babies, dafka, because he says then when they're babies, then we see there's a greater love between the mother dove and the baby. He mentions from something from a Medrash that most other birds, if a person touches their nest to take the chicks, to take the eggs or whatever, then the bird will attack, but that's maybe true, but the bird afterwards will abandon that nest. It's like it's been contaminated by human hands. They don't want to have anything to do with it.
Okay.
Doves are not like that. They will stick with their nest. And therefore, it also represents the faithfulness of the Jewish people to Hashem, that we won't give up Hashem, we won't give up the Torah. So therefore, he says that's the idea. That's why only mature Torah and only baby B'nai Yonah. Okay. Fine. Turn it up on him. We learn it a bit. Again, Torah means gdolim v'lektanim. When the Pasuk says Torah, it means they have to be adults, not that they're younger than that. Now, why do we need the Pasuk to tell us that? Because otherwise, because you would think, you shouldn't need the pasuk. You should be able to make kal v'chomer. You need the pasuk because otherwise you might have mistakenly made a kal v'chomer to think that Davy toed him a kosher. Tosfos points out, by the way, the Loshon sheyachol and v'alojinhu is sort of contradictory. Sheyachol is what we use as if we didn't have the pasuk, we would have thought differently. V'alojinhu means we just need the pasuk because we can learn it by a kal v'chomer. So sheyachol v'alojinhu is sort of a hybrid. We don't need that. Okay. So, because we need the pasuk to tell us Torim, and that means adult one, because otherwise we might have mistakenly thought by a kal v'chomer that baby one was a kosher. Why? With regular jugs, where adult ones are not kosher, as we'll see soon how we learn that, but baby ones are kosher, so then Torim, where the adult ones are kosher, wouldn't we make a kava chomer from Bnei Yonah that also the baby ones should be kosher? Therefore, the pasuk has to tell us Torim, which the word Torim implies Golem v'loktanim. It implies adult ones, not baby ones. Now, how does the word totem itself imply that? We're going to see. The Gemara is going to ask in a few lines how the word totem in and of itself means adult ones. But so far, that's what the Braisa is saying, that we need the word totem because otherwise we would have thought that you could bring baby ones. And the word totem clarifies that it means adult ones.
What would be your word otherwise?
Tosfos asked the question. You need the word totem because, you need the word totem because otherwise you would think you can't bring totem at all. Tosfos explains what it is the order in the Torah is always totem and then Bnei Yonah.
Yeah.
So therefore, that's meant to be, as we're going to learn soon, therefore that Bnei refers only to Yonah. So only Yonah can be baby, totem cannot. If the Torah had said, the question is not if the Torah hadn't used the word totem. Obviously, they have to use the word totem, because otherwise we don't know that species is kosher at all. But what it means is,
in that order,
if it had said Bnei Yonah and totem, then we could think that Bnei refers to the totem as well. Maybe it means Bnei Yonah the totem, maybe it means Bnei Yonah or Bnei totem. By putting totem first clarifies that it means not.
Because
the actual Lashon in the pasuk, the first time it introduces it, is v'hikruv min ha-torim oim min b'nei ha-yonah. So it's clear it's one or the other. But still, if it had said min b'nei ha-yonah oim min ha-torim, then you could argue that maybe b'nei goes on both of them. So like this one, it puts torim first, yeah.
What's the kal v'chomer?
The kal v'chomer, would
you? If it's good,
No, because Bnei Yonah, the baby ones are good. So therefore, if you didn't have the word totem, or if you didn't have it in this order, as Tosfos says, you would think that maybe by totem also the baby ones are good. Yeah. Okay, and you have other Mepharshim who explain that once we know that Bnei Yonah are kosher, then automatically, again, based on this reason that Ramban is saying that they're both easy to catch, then we would automatically know totem, and maybe the totem didn't have to say the word totem at all. Okay, anyway, fine. Continues the Braisa, Bnei Yonah Ktanim V'lo Zolim. When it comes to Bnei Yonah, it means specifically the baby ones, not the adult ones. And again, why do we need the pasuk to tell us? Again, Sheyachol V'alo Zinu, because again, we need the pasuk to tell us because otherwise we might have misunderstood. We might have thought, Umas Torim Shalai Hukshur B'Ktanim Hukshur B'Zolim. Madach, when it comes to Torim, where the baby ones are not good, but the adult ones are. Bnei Yonah Shehukshur B'Ktanim. Then when it comes to Bnei Yonah, where the baby ones are good, shouldn't it be a kavachomer that the adult ones are good also? Therefore, Talmud Lema, Bnei Yonah. Therefore, the pasuk says Bnei Yonah, children of Yonah. Meaning, Tanim v'lo Golem, specifically the baby ones, not the adult ones.
What's the one is not for the other. So
that's the point, in other words. But therefore, we need both the word Torim, or either the word itself or the word in that order, as Tosfos says, and the word Bnei Yonah, because otherwise, if it didn't say one or didn't say the other, we would mistakenly think that what applies to one applies to the other. That with one you can bring the adults, therefore with the other you could, and with the other one you could, with the one you could bring the babies, therefore with the other one you could. Mm-hmm. So therefore, by saying Torim and saying Bnei Yonah separately means each one has its own root. Okay. So the question is, my Talmudah, where do we see from the word Torim that it means specifically that it means specifically adults? Now Rashi actually learns like this. Rashi says the question my Talmudah is like this. Okay, the question rather is on Bnei Yonah and on Torah. So like this, Bnei Yonah, okay, obviously it means baby one. However, we have a general rule with Kodshim that we've had many times before, that only if the Torah repeats something twice is it ma'akiv. But maybe, so just because it says b'nei yoinah, okay, so it means you should bring baby yoinahs, but if you do bring an adult one, it would be kosher. Where do we know? My Talmudah, where do we know that not, that it's actually ma'akim, that an adult yoinah is kosher? Amar Rava, the Rava answers, because if you're going to say that both of them are kosher, fine, but maybe b'nei yoinah just means you should bring b'nei yoinah, but if you brought an adult yoinah, it's also kosher.
So then it shouldn't say b'nei yoinah.
No, but then it would mean that lachshila versus b'diyah, maybe. So the Rava says like this, because lo lishtemikra v'lichto min b'nei atorim o'min ayonah. Because in all the places, now you have many places when it describes korban, it's a bird, and it uses the expression that you can bring totem of b'nei yoinah. Not even in not one single case does the Torah mention b'nei totem or yoinah. So therefore, that's the equivalent in that order. Well, not just in that order, but in other words, it never puts the word b'nei adjacent to totem. And it never puts the word yoinah in connection with korbanos anyway, without the word b'nei. So therefore, that's what it means. If you were going to argue, Rashi says that, it means chili, you should be bringing adult totem and baby b'nei yoinah. But if you did the other way around, it would be kosher, then you would find in at least one place the Torah would have put the word b'nei next to totem, and not next to yoinah. The fact that it doesn't, in every, b'nei totem or yoinah, the fact that in every single place it says totem and b'nei yoinah, means, therefore, that it means it's exclusively like that. Only so, adult Torim and only baby b'nei yoinah.
If said b'nei Torim and yoinah,
then it would
b'nei Torim and b'nei yoinah.
So it could say yoinah and b'nei Torim, whatever. The point still remains that if you had in at least one place that it said differently, then you could say, okay, so the Torah is telling you that it's okay to switch them around. The fact that in every single place it says b'nei in connection with yoinah and never says it in connection with totem and never flips around the order or anything teaches us, therefore, that it's exclusive. It must be, when it comes to yoinah, it must be baby. When it comes to totem, it must be adult.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, Tosfos has a different understanding of the sugya and of the question over here, my Talmudah. It's not so much how we need to know that it's ma'akiv, it's rather how does the word totem in and of itself imply adult? My Talmud, I mean, how we were saying that because it's just because it could
the other way.
But, and the answer is exactly, because if it meant babies as well, then at least one place it would say b'nei totem. The fact that every single time it says only totem means that it means only the adult.
Why?
Okay. So that's our first question. That's our first question. Yeah. Ema, okay, but maybe argue like this. B'nei yoinah dekos tavur rachmana b'nei. Fine, argue like this. When it comes to the yoinah, because every time the Torah always says b'nei by it, fine, then that's ma'asim. Therefore, b'nei k'tanim ein jo l'moy. So therefore, every time the Torah says b'nei, therefore you could say that means dafka, the baby one's not the grown-up. But after all, how do you know, maybe by the totem, it means that it could be Iboy Gdolim Waisi, Iboy Tanim Waisi. Maybe by totem it means you could bring either one. Maybe we don't have something to tell us that it's ma'akiv, that the age is ma'akiv by totem. Maybe we only have that by B'nai Yonah, because every time it says B'nai. The answer is Dumya de B'nai Yonah. Yes, but on the other hand, there has to be a certain similarity with B'nai Yonah. Ma B'nai Yonah Tanim Ein Gdolim Loi. Just like with the B'nai Yonah, as we just established, they're definitely only kosher when they're babies, and we know that because it says B'nai every single time.
No, because it never says.
That's what I'm saying, because it never says without b'nei, exactly. Totem, Golem, in Tanim, well, the same thing, the totem also has to have, it can't just be that you can bring indiscriminately any totem. It has to be, they're similar, but opposite to b'nei yoinah, that there's only a certain age, when they're kosher and not outside.
It doesn't say b'nei totem.
Well, the fact that it doesn't say b'nei totem, but that's not enough to say that it's ma'akiv. That's not enough to say that it's ma'akiv. But the fact that we're saying it's similar to b'nei yoinah, because the pasuk always puts them together, teaches us just like the b'nei yoinah have a limit. There's a certain age beyond which they're possible, so also the totem have a certain limit before which they're possible.
Right. And my question is, how long do the b'nei yoinah, how long does the b'nei yoinah?
Okay, so now we're going to talk about.
The totem, how long does
it? Okay, so now we're going to talk about. So now we're going to talk about, again, we're not really going to talk about in terms of ages, per se,
no.
But the Gemara is going to give us simonim. The Gemara is going to give us simonim, how we know.
Because it's a very short period of time we're talking about.
Maybe.
Referring.
Yeah, well.
And Yonah, maybe, because you could differentiate.
I mean, presumably, We're going to talk about it. But here again, Bnei Yonah are kosher when they're babies. Now Rashi actually learns in the next piece of Gemara over here that the Bnei Yonah are actually not kosher immediately when they're born, because he says when they're first born, they're most. So therefore he learns later on when the Gemara says in a few lines, or the Gemara is going to talk about it, a few lines, a simon, when Bnei Yonah are kosher, he learns it means what's the earliest they're kosher.
Right.
And then they're kosher from then until, as we said in the Mishnah, when they start developing the yellow or iridescent or whatever feathers. The Rambam actually understands that next piece of Gemara the other way around, that apparently he learns that the Bnei Yonah are kosher, maybe as korbanos, maybe even as soon as they're born, or at least fine, maybe not right after because they're not attractive, but like very shortly after. He learns that what the Gemara is going to say over there, the simon, is rather what's the oldest they can be that you can bring them.
When they become...
besides the yellow feathers, we're going to see something else also. Okay.
So he doesn't mention the feathers?
Well, he does, but he's saying there's a different simon that the Gemara is mentioning also. So wait. Okay. It'll become clearer as we learn. Okay. Fine, turn it up on him. We learn in another bright. So Yahu Yahu Kola Turim Bahob Bnei Yonah Chedim. You would think that all Turim and all Bnei Yonah should be kosher, regardless of age. No, Tamadlaim, me not Turim. Or no, not necessarily are we talking about age. That's what we're going to see it soon in the Gemara, whether we're talking about age or something else. Right now, we assume that it's talking about age, but wait. We would think that all Turim and all Bnei Yonah are kosher. Therefore the pasuk. So now, one second. So the previous braisa was learning from the fact that every time it says Torim without Bnei, and every time it says Yonah with Bnei, that teaches us that only the adult Torim and only the baby Bnei Yonah are kosher. This braisa is learning in a different way. Tamad Lema min ha Torim below kol ha Torim. The word min is a meal. It says from the Torim, implying that only some of them are kosher. It says min ha Torim or min Bnei Yonah.
Everywhere.
Well, in the first place where it mentions them, in the first place, in Parshas Vayikra, when it mentions them, it mentions that he brings Minat Torim or Min Bnei Yonah. So therefore, it means Minat Torim, but like Tamad Lema, Minat Torim, but like Kol HaTorim. The word Minat Torim means not all Torim are kosher. Min Bnei Yonah means like Kol Bnei Yonah, not all Bnei Yonah are kosher. So therefore, that also teaches us that once they start developing the yellow or the shiny feathers around the neck, that then they're possible. Because again, then they're not ktanim, they're not ktanim and they're not gdolim yet. They're like adolescents, sort of. So they're too old for Bnei Yonah and too young for Torim. Okay. Continues the Braisa. From what point then are Torim kosher? What's the point at which they're considered mature enough to be kosher? Once they develop golden feathers, or Rashi says also golden doesn't
wait, golden?
No. So what it is Rashi actually says she hates kanfei gufan dolim va'adumim umazhivin kazav, when the feathers on their bodies are big and reddish and they sparkle like gold. Because you haven't seen Torah, but I guess.
You
can always look them up online. But yeah, I mean, maybe not like gold per se, but in other words, the point is that they sparkle. They have a certain shine to them. So when they're reddish like that, then they resemble gold in that sense. So therefore, once they develop those feathers on their body, then you know that they're mature. Find a picture, yeah.
In the book?
Oh, that's a good point, actually.
Holden Illuminated doesn't have a picture of it. I don't believe the name they're focusing on status.
And this one is only, and black and white pictures, so no, I don't think we're going to find, a picture of them, must be. Here's pictures of them. So yeah, you can see they have bright yellow feathers.
Show me another one.
That's what?
That's a turtle dove. That's a turtle. So yeah, so once they develop. We didn't say around the neck. When they have yellow around the neck, we said it's no good. Then they're not mature enough yet. But when they have these yellowish golden feathers on their body,
the rims of the feather.
So that's Mishiyat Hebrew. Once they develop that yellowish gold color, then they're kosher, the turtle. And from what point are they apostle? Mishi Ya'al Alu. From when Ya'al Alu? Now, what is Ya'al Alu? I skipped the line over here. Sorry. Okay, so Me'emesai trained Rishi as Hebrew once they developed those golden feathers. Me'emesai, B'nai Yonah Pesulin, at what point are B'nai Yonah Pesul, Mashiach Hebrew, when they start getting yellowish, because you said once they develop the yellow feathers around their neck, then they're Pesul.
Yeah, Hebrew is the neck.
Yeah, the Pesul.
But first is the wings and then it's the neck?
No, it's two different species. Remember, we're talking two different species here. We're talking B'nai Yonah and we're talking turtle.
So there's a picture of
a turtle dove that I just showed you. That's a turtle. Yeah. Okay, you want a picture of a common dove? Fine.
Yeah.
You can see them walking around the street over here, but...
Well, that's fine.
Yeah, okay. There's pictures of common doves, so... No, they're not yellowish when they're mature.
No, they're not.
I didn't say they were. But there comes a point when they develop yellow feathers around their neck, which I guess afterwards those feathers also change color. Mm-hmm. So fine, those at that point it's fossil, because already it's out of childhood and into adolescence. That's Mashiach.
It's too old.
Okay, yeah. Tony Yaakov Korcha, that was his name, Torah Braisa. Me'emesai B'nai Yonah Pesulin. At what point are B'nai Yonah kosher? Meaning Rashi learns they're obviously not kosher as soon as they're born, because they're still not very attractive. What's the youngest they can be to be kosher? Mishi Ya'alalu. From when Ya'alalu? Now what is Ya'alalu? Who Tony Lava who Amala? So Ya'alalu. 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 Yeah. So this Yaakov Korcha said this braita, and he also explained it. What does the word ya'alu mean? It's related to, you have a pasuk in Iyo, Efreichav ya'alu dam. His chicks ya'alu blood, which means emas. So what does that mean? Amar Abayim, kishomet gad faminei. It means when they're at the age, if you pull a feather out of the bird, va'asa dama, then blood will come out. In context, okay, one here, no, hold on. Okay, the point is like this. Okay, what does the word ya'alu itself mean? The word ya'alu has two, Tosafot points out, it has two possible meanings. The Aramaic word for rib is tsela. The Hebrew word for rib is tsela. The Aramaic equivalent is ilah. You have a number of words that in Hebrew have a tzadik and in Aramaic have a corresponding ayin. So therefore, what it means is, so that's the Gemara saying over here, when you pull out a feather and they start bleeding, meaning in other words, like because where is the blood coming from? From their ribs, or from under the skin. So therefore, so that's Ya'al Udam means that their ribs are already producing blood when you pull out a feather. The other explanation, Tosfos brings from Menachem, one of the early Bali Dikruf, explains that the word Ya'al Udam means to gulp blood. In context, the pasuk is talking about over there about baby Nesher, and Nesher we'll learn later on in the Masechta is an eagle or a vulture or some other bird of prey like that. So in other words, the idea would be, so in context, the pasuk is describing how these are birds of prey and they gulp down blood from carcasses or whatever that they eat. So in the context of here, again, either Ya'alu Dam, either the word Ya'alu is related to the word Ila, which means a rib, and therefore it means that they're able to bleed from their ribs when you pull out a feather. In other words, they're not just within the first few days of being born, because then they don't really have, then their feathers are not embedded deeply enough in the skin that it will bleed when you pull them out. Or it comes from the word gulping, meaning basically when the bird is old enough to be able to gulp down food on its own. As opposed to, again, when the first few days after
it. So either it means when you pull it, some blood will
come out.
Or when they start gulping blood.
Or when they start, because doves and turtle doves don't gulp blood. But when they're able to gulp down food on their own. The word ya'alu in and of itself means to gulp food. Yeah. So according to the first explanation, I buy it.
What is related to Bria?
The Torah says it's related to the word, inyan bliya. It's an idea, it's a concept of swallowing. Come over, shosu v'lo'u.
What's the difference between bliya and...
Because it's a shosu v'lo'u. You have a prophet, v'lo'u, which means like they gulp down. Like bliya just means swallowing, and then, like in English, you have the word gulp. Okay, anyway, the point is, so again, either what it means is that ya'au means something having to do with the ribs and the blood, and therefore I buy its explanation that you pull out a feather and blood starts coming, is exactly related to the word ya'au. Or what it is they're Abaya is telling you, how do you know when the bird is old enough to gulp down food independently rather than the mother having to feed it? It is when it's old enough that you pull out a feather and blood and it starts bleeding. The Rambam has a whole different explanation of this. The Rambam understands, apparently has a different girsa over here, that the question is not what's the youngest at which Bnei Yonah are kosher, but rather at what point are they possible for a curse. And that would be when you pull out a feather and then
they're always kosher until they
Bnei Yonah are kosher. In other words, apparently it sounds like from babyhood. That's exactly the opposite of what Rashi's saying, right? Okay, maybe the Rambam would agree that you can't bring it the first day or two of its life because it's not really attractive yet. But in other words, the point is, he says, once you reach a point when, if you pull out a feather, no blood comes out, then already it's too old. It's too old, he says. Okay, so now Rav Zera asks like this. Okay, so now we've established that we have a minimum and maximum age for Bnei Yonah, and we have a minimum age for Torim, and we don't know whether there's a maximum age for them. Okay, so now, Boyer Rav
Zera.
That's what he said. Amar Abaye, Miki Shomit Gad Famine, when you pull out a feather from the bird, Va'asi Dama, and blood comes out. According to Rashi, that's how you know that the bird is now old enough to be, that the Ben Yonah is old enough to be brought to the curb, and before that it's too young, it's not attractive. And according to the Rambam, that tells us the latest at which you can bring it as a curb. Once you pull out a feather and no blood comes out, then it's too old. Okay, fine. Okay, Boyer Rav Zera. So now Rav Zera asks, okay, so we established before that, again, there comes a point with both Torim and Bnei Yonah where they start developing yellow, or where they start developing yellow feathers around the neck specifically, and then we said both of them are possible at that point, the Bnei Yonah because they're too old, the Torim because they're too young. So the question is going to be like, if somebody says, I make a nether that I'm going to bring an Ola from Torim or from Bnei Yonah, which means he has a choice. He can bring a Torah or he can bring a Ben Yonah if he wants. Now the question is, he ended up bringing a bird that has the beginning of the yellow feathers around the neck. So the question is, Mahu,
they both have yellow feathers around the neck?
We said that both of them developed that at some point in their lives, in adolescence, we said, and therefore with a Ben Yonah it's too old and with a Torah it's too young at that point. The Torah later on grows yellow feathers on its body. That's when we know it's mature. But here we're talking about around the neck. Okay. So the question is like this. Mahu, what would be the din? Is he yotze his neder or not? The question basically is, feitahavi, do we say that the period when it has yellow feathers is a suffix, whether it's old enough or young enough? Well, in that case, v'nofik, and therefore he should be yotze, because however you look at it, monofsha, if yellow feathers is possibly still a baby, okay, then the Ben Yonah is still a baby, and it's kosher. If it's possibly already an adult, then fine, the Torah is already an adult, and it's kosher. So therefore, he's been yotzeh as nadir either way. On the other hand, Ojoma beria havi, or maybe you could argue that when it has the yellow feathers around the neck, it's a beria, it's a whole different creature at that point. Volonothic, therefore, he's not yotzeh, because he said he's going to bring a Torah or a Ben Yonah. And like this, it's not a Torah, and it's not a valid Torah, and it's not a valid Ben Yonah. So what would be the deal? Before we get to the answer, before we get to the Gemara's discussion about it, Tosfos points out the question. I mean, if we have a suffix, the fact is, even according to the first possibility, it's a suffix whether you can bring it. Now, how on earth is the Kohen bringing it to the Korban anyway? When the guy brings a bird with yellow feathers around the neck to the Kohen should tell him, I'm sorry, this is no good. It's too old or too young, as the case may be. How do we even have a question whether he could be Yotze's nether or not?
What's exactly the question?
The question is like this. Do we say that essentially a bird only has two stages in its life, babyhood and adulthood? Philosophically, we have a suffix. Is it at that point still a baby, or is it already in adulthood? So then in that... Fine, we said that... The question was, rather, we said but was it, that the Mishnah had told us that, but is it possible because it's intrinsically possible, or is it possible only because it's a suffix? We don't know at that point whether the bird can still be considered a baby or an adult. So if we say it's a suffix, again, remember, his neder was that I'm going to bring a tur or a ben yonah. Right. So therefore, he has his choice. He could bring an adult tur, or he could bring a baby Ben Yonah, as the case may be. So now when he brings a Ben Yonah that has yellow feathers, maybe it's a baby and it's kosher. Maybe it's an adult and it's not kosher. So he may or may not have been yotzeh with that one. But then he brings a tur. Again, maybe it's a baby and it's not kosher. Maybe it's an adult and it's kosher. But one way or the other, if you consider them to be babies, then one of them is kosher, the Ben Yonah. If you consider them to be adults, then one of them is kosher, the tur. Therefore, right. So therefore, one or the other of them is going to be kosher. But if you say it's a beria, if you say that it's a defined state, that at that point it's neither a baby ben yonah, nor an adult tur, well, then it's possible because he wasn't yotzei neder.
Nishtayin.
So that's the question. Okay, so now Tosfos, okay. So Tosfos brings up the point, if it's possible, how are you able to be makriv anyway? So Tosfos gives a few in.
Then you couldn't bring either.
That's the question. Once he, as soon as he brings it to the Kohen should tell him, I'm sorry, this is no good. So Tosfos gives a few answers. One is that we can be asking, okay, let's say the Kohen didn't know, or he's over, and whatever, and it was makriv. Was the person yotzei neder? Another answer Tosfos gives is, one, maybe you could argue, once the person brings his koyin, his korban to the koyin, maybe already at that point his yotzei is neder, because one of them could be brought to the korban, conceivably, we just don't know which one. But practically speaking, the koyin may not be able
that's
to offer it.
That's an assumption that it's ovarian.
Now, well, that's the question. If we say it's a sophic, right. If we say it's a sophic, so then Tosfos argues in their second answer that what we're talking about is if he brings it to the Kohen, so yes, the Kohen may not actually be able to be makriv it because of the sophic. Forget about the question of Beria. Let's say we knew for a fact that Tchilas HaTzihuv is a sophic.
Right.
But, so the Kohen, practically speaking, won't be able to offer it, but nevertheless, the person will have been yotze his korban because he brought it to the Kohen.
One of them is kosher.
Right. Now, Achronim,
well,
we don't know which one, fine. Now, Achronim discussed that point of Tosfos. Achronim discussed that answer of Tosfos. What are you talking about on the face of it? When you say, I have to bring a korban, then you're obligated to actually make sure the korban is brought, not just that you gave it to the korban.
But he could have made it tonight.
What's not? I mean, if you say Harei Olai,
hold on.
Harei Olai Olam and Aftorim and Bnei Yonah, on the face of it means that he's responsible to see fit that it's actually offered to the Kohen, not just that he gives it to the Kohen. So how is Tosfos saying, as soon as he gives it to the Kohen, he was already yotze, even though the Kohen is not makriv with it?
He said, Olai Bnei Yonah or
Totem. But again, either, fine, understood, but Harei Olai implies that it actually ends up being offered on the Mizeh. If you use Tosfos' first answer that the Kohen was over and makriv with it, okay, so he was yotze. So if you say it's a sophic, then he was yotze. Tosfos gives a third answer also, which is maybe we're talking about on a bomber. But anyway, getting back to the second answer of Tosfos, the second answer is the more interesting one, which is that Tosfos says that you could argue as soon as he gives it to the Kohen, even though because of the sophic, the Kohen cannot be makriv with it, nevertheless, the person will have been yotze his pardon. It will have been yotze his again, you would think, usually, when a person says Harei Olai to bring a korban, he's only yotze when the korban is actually offered on the mizbeach. In this case, the korban is not offering it, so how is there a possibility that he's yotze his korban?
So
Achronim give a number of different answers on that. For example, the Maharshal says that maybe what it means is the korban will accept the bird, but he will say, fine, but I'm not going to be makriv with it yet. I'm going to wait until both these birds become mature, and then, or at least until the Torah becomes mature or whatever, and then I'll offer that one, and that, so that way you can say the person was yotze in a certain sense because he brought it, but nevertheless, and eventually it will be offered, just not yet. That's one answer. And there's a number of other answers also that have to do with maybe that he was yotze his choyver to heftish, and therefore in that sense, okay, but, and then the tzlach gives another answer, the tzlach gives an interesting answer like this. The Gemara discusses in a few places, we had it in Nedarim, we had it in Kedushin, are the Kohanim essentially our Shluchim, or are they essentially the Shluchim of Hashem, to bring the Korban?
Are they our Shluchim?
Are they our Kahani Shluchim Yudan Minhu? Are they our Shluchim, or are they Hashem's
Shluchim? Hashem chose them.
Yeah. Hashem chose them, but the question is, are they considered our Shliach in bringing the Korban, or are they fundamentally considered Hashem's Shliach? The Gemara discusses. There are a number of Nachminas of it. It comes up in Nedarim, it comes up in Kedushin. In Nedarim, for example, you have the question, if a person makes a neder not to have Hanah from somebody else, if that somebody else is a Kohen, can that Kohen be makriv a korban for him? If you say the Kohenim are Arshlochim, no, because just like you, in a parallel case, you couldn't have that person acting a Shliach on your behalf to do something else. But if you argue the Shluchim of Hashem, then you could. Okay, it's a discussion in a few places. I understand. Obviously, Hashem chose them, but the question is: now that Hashem chose them, are they our shluchim, or are they? They have nothing to do with us, really. The Hashem chose them, and therefore, a person brings a korban, they're acting on behalf of Hashem to bring the korban. Okay, so that's the question. So we can say like this: the Tzlach says, if you say they're our shluchim, okay, a person gives
them. We didn't designate them.
It's not the question whether we designated them. Obviously, we didn't. But when they're bringing a korban, are they doing it on our behalf or not? Basically. So therefore, if you say that they're doing...
Are they blessing
is something else. We're talking about korban.
No,
that's a different question.
It's the same question.
Okay, that's not the same question. Not the same thing.
Why not?
Because it's not. Here, you're bringing them a korban and they're being makriv it on your behalf. You're not bringing them a bracha and they're giving a bracha.
They're giving us a bracha.
Fine, that's true. But that doesn't make them their arshlochan for that, because we didn't... Okay. But here you're telling the Kohen to bring a Korban. Okay. Again, if you say then that the Kohanim are Shluchim, and the Slack says, then you could say that no, just giving it to him is not enough. You're responsible to see it that your Shliach accomplishes the thing completely. As opposed to Tosfos maybe taking the view over here, if you say that they're the Shluchim of Hashem, essentially, then fine, once you brought the Korban to him, the fact that he can't be master of it is neither here nor there. As far as your Chiyuv is concerned, you've been Yosef.
One second, you can say both. It can be Shluchim of Hashem to be our Shluchim.
If a person is a shliach of either one entity or another, either
the shliach of the editor
to take akorbanus. Yeah, fine, but then that means that they're a shliach of Hashem. It means they're not a shliach of ours. Again, as far as hilchos nedarim, for example, it was in today's Rambam, Shlosha Prakim, actually. Then, if a person makes a neder not to have a nah from a certain kohen, then he will be able to have that kohen bring the carbon. The fat kohen bring the carbon on his behalf because the kohen is not his shliach. But if you say that the kohen is his shliach, then he wouldn't be allowed to. So that's one nachamina. Okay. Anyway, so that's another answer. That's another solution to what Tosfos is explaining. What Tosfos is saying that if you say the korban a shlucha d'rachmana, then once you bring them the korban, you've been yotze your neder, even though they may not be able to be back with it.
So they
according to that second answer of Tosfos, yeah. Okay. Fine. Getting back to the Gemara. Okay. So again, Reb Zera's question is, it's sort of a sophic within a sophic. Is it that Tchilas HaTzihuv, the only reason it's possible is because we're not sure whether it's a baby or an adult, but in principle, if we knew, then it would be kosher?
Right.
Or is it that it's actually a beria, and therefore it's a separate entity, and therefore it's possible no matter what? Okay. So, Omar Rava Toshma, the Rava says, come, let's prove from the Braisa. We said before, the Braisa said, how do we know that Tchilas HaTzihuv is possible? We said, because we said, min HaTzorim and min b'nei HaYonah, we said, as opposed to the beginning of when it starts growing, min is a mir, so therefore it meant not when it starts growing the yellow feathers around the neck, then it's fossil. So the question is, I'm the shlema beria havi, if you say that when it has the yellow feathers around the neck, then it's a beria, it's a separate entity, and therefore it's fossil, shatter. Okay, then that explains. The pasuk is telling you, that's the third period in the bird's life, which is fossil. You have one period which is kosher with B'nai Yonah, a different one which is kosher with Torim, and a third period which is possible by both. Eli, I'm a mistake, Abi, but if you're going to say that essentially when it has the yellow feathers around the neck, it's only a suffix whether it's considered a baby or an adult. It's to crawl or to stake. What are you talking about? Would you need a possible to tell us not to tell us to exclude a suffix? Meaning, in other words, Rashi explains the point is that Hashem has no space. Hashem dictated the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu. He doesn't have any suffix. He knows whether Tchilas HaTzihuv is a baby or is an adult. If we say that for us it's a suffix, then for Hashem it's not a suffix. So therefore, why would the pasuk be telling you min HaTorim or min b'nei Ayona to exclude a case of suffix? Hashem knows whether it's a baby or an adult. So there's no reason to have a mute and a pasuk for a suffix. But now Tosfos asks the question, we do have various dinim that apply to suffix. We have various dinim throughout Shas that apply to where we learn from Sukkim that what to do in case of a suffix. So why is this different? And Tosfos discusses a couple of possibilities.
If we don't apply here.
Well, then why are we saying yes? So one thing is, so there's a couple of points that Tosfos makes, that Tosfos brings up in that connection. One of them is, there's a difference between a suffix because you don't know the facts versus a suffix because you know the facts, you just don't know what to do with them, what the law is, what the din would be in a certain case. Meaning, in other words, for example, one case of suffix that Tosfos mentions, where we have a pasuk that tells us what to do with it, is, in the case of Maisa Behema, we're going to learn in a few months, Masechta Bechorah, says Hashem, we're going to talk about there at the end of the Masechta, about Maisa Behema. Now, imagine you have like this. So what do you do? How do you do Maisa Behema? You have the animals inside the pen, you take them out one by one, and the tenth one you designate Maisa. What happens if once you counted an animal towards Meiser, at that point, that animal is Potter from Meiser. That has various implications in halacha. For example, if let's say you started counting the animals, and before you got to the tenth one of them died, then you don't have to give Meiser, but the ones that were already counted are Potter. You don't have to save them for next year and give Meiser from them. So therefore, now let's say you started counting the animals, one of the ones that you counted, the first or the second or the third or what have you, jumped back into the pen, and now you can't tell it among all the other ones. So the din is all of them are plus. You don't have to take mice or behemoth from those animals.
Once you come and you don't mark them, they don't do
it. No, you only, you mark the 10th one.
So
if the 10th one jumps in, then you tack out a problem, because then you have mice are mixed up with colon. That's another matter. I'm talking about if the first or second or eighth or whatever jumps back in, and you can't tell it from all the other uncounted animals yet, then all of them are problems. And we learn from a Pasuk about that. So the thing is, Tosfos says, the difference is there you don't know the actual facts. You don't know which one is the already counted animal. If you knew which one it was, then you would know what the din is. You would know this one is Pasuk and the other ones are Chayim. Fine, so that's the Pasuk can be telling you what to do in the case of a Sof. Here we're talking about, we know the fact. We know that this bird has yellow feathers. We just don't know whether it's a baby or an adult. We don't know what the din is. We don't know what the classification of it is. That's the kind of thing that the Gemara is saying. Why would you have a pasuk to tell us what to do in a case of suffix like that when Hashem has no stake? Like Hashem should have told us in the first place. Such a bird is an adult, or such a bird is a baby, rather than having the word min to be a meal to this.
Well, he didn't choose to.
So that's the Gemara's question. That's the Gemara's question. Therefore, Rava says, from that you have to prove that the answer must be like the other possibility that Rav Zera said. It's not that it's possible because of a suffix, it's because it's a beria, and therefore, fine, the Torah doesn't even lie, it's a beria.
Okay. So if it's a beria,
then sure, it makes sense. Then it means, that's the point, in other words. So then, in other words, it would mean that then it makes sense. Well, then he's not Yosef, and then it means, then it makes sense why the Pasuk has to use the word min to be mamayatit. Because you would think, look, here's a third period in the life of the bird. Maybe it should be kosher, and therefore the word min tells us enough. Tosfos just continues with a whole long discussion about all the pros and cons of various status or whatever. We won't get further into it. Fine. So therefore, Rava says, on that basis, you have to answer Rav Zera's question. It's not that it's possible because of the suffix, it's possible because of the beria. Okay. However, the Gemara says, not necessarily because she is chalom or nirbav neva. No, maybe rather, the possible, when it says min hatodim and min b'nei ayona, maybe it's not to tell us about the yellow feathers. Maybe indeed the only reason the yellow feathers are possible is because of the suffix. You're going to argue, why is the Pasuk being a Mayak of suffix? Right. It's not. It's being a Mayak. Something else. Lamorti nirba v'neva. The Pasuk is coming
not
to tell
Beria?
Us. Not Beria. Well, forget Beria. We're saying, in other words, we could still keep Rav Zera's question open. We could argue yellow feathers around the neck is not a Beria. It's just a suffix. We human beings have a suffix, what the din is, whether it's a baby or an animal. Hashem doesn't have a suffix. Why does it say mean? The answer is because the word min is not being mamayach yellow feathers around the neck at all. Unlike what the Braisa said, you could argue that maybe the real meaning of what are we learning from min, the Braisa is just giving us an asmachta. The real meaning of the min is a mo'otin nirba v'nevam. It's to tell us that you're not allowed to put... No, nirba and never is a vada. Nirba, bird, one second. Let's first define our term. Nirba is a bird that was used for a human being sodomized, right? And Nevad is a bird that was worshipped as a Mezuzah.
Right.
So therefore, in other words, maybe what it is is now the Braisa said that the word min hatodim and min bnei ayona teaches us about chilas atzihu. Now we're saying maybe not really. Maybe the real meaning of those miutim is about nirba v'neva. And we're going to say, well, the Gemara is going to continue, why we need a meal. No, because you can't be mamayach two things in the same word. So we're going to see why we would need such a meal.
Two things,
nirba v'neva. No, so one is from Torah and one is from Ne'er.
But what does it mean v'neva?
No. Okay, hold on. Nirba would be that a person sodomized it. Neva would be that it was worshipped as a Vodazara, even when it's not otherwise also by no. For example, if Reuven has a bird and Shimon bows down to it, it doesn't become author for Reuven. But on the other hand, it's possible for a carbon. Yeah. It's possible
for a carbon.
Yeah. Anyway, so the point is that the point is maybe the real meaning of min hatorim is to tell us not nirva, and min b'nei ayona is to tell us not nevad, and the braisa that mentioned in connection with yellow feathers is only an asmasa.
Isn't that obvious that it cannot be nirva?
That's the Gemara is going to take that question up next. But wait. The point is, you don't...
We have to all other animals.
Yeah. Hold on. I was going to take up at that point exactly, but wait. The point is, though, that so far, the point that we don't have to say that you can prove Rav Zera's question one way or the other from this Braisa. The answer is not necessarily, because even though the Braisa is mentioning min as being a miut on yellow feathers, maybe that's not really what it's being reminded. Maybe the Braisa is only using that as an asmachta. Okay, Tosfos asked the question, and what are you talking about? Tosfos is saying, what are you talking about? The Braita is telling you you're using the words for one drasha, and you're saying that you're gonna say it's only an asnasa and use the words for a different drasha. The Tosfos says because the Gemara knows for a fact that these words min hatorim and min bnei ayona are meant to be nearba and neva. So therefore, the Gemara is not to say, so therefore, it's like the Gemara is saying, just the opposite. The Braisa that wanted to use them for yellow feathers is going against what we know from everywhere else in chat, that min atodim and min b'nei yona is about nearby and never. So therefore, the Gemara feels comfortable in doing that and saying that therefore, the Braisa may have just been using it as an asmata rather than as the real din, because the author of the Braisa knew that in other places in chat, we use it. So it would be basically, so the real reason would be near Gavin.
Right.
As an asmata, we would also use it for the yellow feathers, but the difference is, and as an asmata, we could say, why is it only an asmata? Because maybe yellow feathers is only also because of a stoppage. Meaning if we really knew the din, and Hashem really knows the din, then it would be kosher for one or the other. Because we don't know the din, then therefore it's possible and we have an asmachta in the word.
We have okay.
Tosfos also gives another answer. Tosfos also gives another answer that because we have two mins, we have min atodim and min b'nei ayona. So one of them could be used for both nirba and nevad, and the other one could be used for tchilas atzihu. Okay, anyway. Fine. So why do we need a pasuk to tell us that birds can't be near b'vaneva? As you said, why should it be different than any other carbon? So like this, sakadai tachamina, if you didn't have this miut, you would think like this. Hoyluchtiv ki mashchosam b'hem mumba. Now you have a pasuk like this. In Parshas Emor, the Torah tells us you're not allowed to bring an animal with a mum. And then the pasuk says, a couple of sukkim later, it says you're not allowed to bring such an animal, and even if a goy wants to bring such an animal as a korban, you're not allowed to accept it from him. Ki moshchosam b'hem, because their defect, not their defect, their meloshin shachas, meloshin like their destruction, like damage. Their damage is in them. Mumbam, there is a mum in them. And what do these two expressions mean? Moshchosam b'hem mumbam. V'tana dvei Rabbi Shmuel, a braisa from the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel explains, what does that mean? That you have two things that pass on an animal, hashchosa and mum. And what does hashchosa mean? Kol makom shenema hashchosa, wherever it uses the word hashchosa in Chumash, destruction or damage or whatever, eina ela dvar erva v'avadis hashchosa. It means that it has something to do with arayas, in this case nirva, that it was used for sodomy, or avadis hashchosa. That was an arayas per se, but it wasn't arayas. Dvar erva, but something to do with improper relations, right? Dvar erva, how do we see the hashchata is related to erva, the hishchis kabbalah, the zarka aloris? Because before the Mabul, Hashem tells Noach that erva, what the Pasuk says, all living beings have corrupted, that's the word we need, their way upon the earth, and Rashi says, and the Gemara brings in Sanhedrin, that it means that even the animals made it outside of their species. So therefore we see the word hashchata refers to improper mating. And avodah shechalim, where do we see that hashchata has to do with avodah zarah? Dichtiv, ten tashchisun, that you shouldn't act corruptly, v'asitim lachan pesel, that you should make for yourself a statue. So mashchasam means dvar erva or avodah zarah. So you would argue like this.
What does it say then?
We said, because you have kimashchasam behem mumba.
No, but where does it say
kimashchasam? It's in Parshas Emor, right after it discusses that you can't bring animals with mumim, it says, why can't you bring them kimashchasam behem mumba? So therefore, it's teaching us that not only an animal is a mum, but also an animal that has a problem of hashchosa, namely avodah zarah or arayah. So therefore, now that we have that, you would think like this, therefore. Kol sham mum poisel boy. You would think like this. Any korban where a mum passes it, only then do I erva avodah sechavim poisel boy. Only then do arayah or avodah zarah passel it. But v'hani oisoy, but when it comes to birds, hoy over like poisel b'hu mumah, since a mum does not pass for them, and we know that a mum does not pass for them, we've learned a number of times, the Omamar, as in fact we've learned in Zvachim and in Menachos in a few places, Tamus Vezachos Vebehema, that in Tamus Vezachos Vezachos, this concept that a korban has to be tomim, cannot have a mum, and that it has to be a certain korban, it has to be zachar, it has to be male, only applies to animal karbonis. It does not apply to bird karbonis. With bird karbonis, only mechoser eva topples them. We said only, for example, if their wing is dried up, or if a limb is missing or non-functional, then
you just said the neyona de mausin, so it's like a movement.
That's not the same thing. Maus is just because you're not supposed to bring something maus tashem. So
if you miss an eye, then you cannot.
No, you're missing an eye, you can't bring them because mechoser eva. Even b'nei noyach can't bring them. We learned in Avodah Zarah, they don't even bring them as karbonis to their defkes. No, but the mum means like missing an eye or something, as opposed to, for example, let's say with an animal, a split eyelid is enough to topple an animal for a carbon. But it doesn't topple a bird. Right. So therefore, so you would think that since the concept of mumim does not really apply to birds, so you would think maybe Arayas or Avodah Zarah, maybe Mashchotam doesn't topple them either, because they're put together in the process. Kamash Malon, that is why we need the miut, min hatzorim, and min b'nei ayona, to tell us otherwise.
That's
the definitive thing. So therefore, again, so when the Braitha mentioned Min HaTorim and Min Minei Yonah as mentioning Tchilah HaSeel, that can be only an Akhmasa. Or it could be, as opposed to the second answer, that maybe we use one of the Min's for that and the other one for, and the other one for Nirba and Nela. But primarily it's coming to, primarily Min teaches us about Nirba and Nela. And you know, I'll use them. As
so still, Nirba and Nela is you can say a nerve doesn't have a moon, okay, but nirva and neva, it's something that's major.
Well, that's why they're puzzles. But if
we
still need a limit for it, because otherwise you would think it's putting it together with mum. So whatever mum applies to, mashchotim applies to, whatever not, so therefore no mum biosis, no mashchotim biosis. The word mina term, minayona tells us the difference. Tells us otherwise. Okay. Fine. So the bottom line is we don't have an answer to the Beira's question, and therefore it winds up we're left with a suffix whether he's Yosef, and therefore he's not Yosef because he made a nether, and therefore we have to be sure that he was Yosef, and now we can't be sure. Okay. Boy of Zayna. Now Reb Zayna asked a similar question, but now in connection with animals. We had some of this discussion in Menachos as well. Now, with animals, you also have different kinds of animals also have different rules as far as karbonis, and in particular, you have with one species of animals, namely when it comes to sheep, and specifically male sheep, you have a difference between a baby and an adult. You have, when it comes to the nesachim of a karbon, we learned in Menachos about the nesachim, the flour and wine and oil that accompanies a karbon, you have one amount that you bring for a sheep, for a lamb, under a year old. You have a different amount that you bring for an ayil, which is a ram, which is already in its second year. But in between, you have a period, also you have it just like with birds, you have an in-between period, at which point it's called a pilgus, or palgus, or whatever. We discussed there what exactly the word. We discussed then where the word pilgus comes from. Some of the Rishonim explain that it's related to the word plag, which means a half. So it's like halfway between babyhood and adulthood. Steinsalt relates it to a Greek word that means something like an adolescent. Whatever it is, there's a point in a sheep's life, in a male sheep's life, when it's considered a pilgrim. Now, if it was a baby, if it was a lamb, you would be bringing as an esachim, an isarin of flour, 3 lugim of wine, and 3 lugim of oil. If it's an ayil, then it's 2 esarinim, 4 lugim, and 4 lugim. But what happens to a pilgrim?
331
or 422?
Yeah.
422. 442, rather, yeah. Okay.
442.
444 logum of wine,
yeah,
4 of oil, and logum. Yeah. Okay. So, boyu rabzera. Ha'oyma harela oilas behema mina ayil oymina kebet. Similar idea. Somebody says, I'm going to bring an oilas behema that's either a sheep or either a lamb or a ram, which means, therefore, he has a choice. Either one he brings over yosa. But what if the heavy pilgus? What if now he brings a pilgus instead? Is he yosa with that? Mahu. So what would be the deal? Again, it's a similar question, basically. Is it that a pilgus is a suffix, whether it's a kevis or an ayil, or is it that it's definitively something different, a variant? Yeah. The Gemara points out, now you have a machloikus related to this concept in Menachos. We had a machloikus between Rabbi Yochanan and Bar Pada about the question, when a person brings a pilgus, Is he Yosef the Korban at all? Forget about the case over here, specifically where he said Kevis or Ayil, but in general, if a person brings a Pilgus, let's say a person made a Neder, I'm going to bring a Korban generically, and he brings a Pilgus. Is he Yosef or not? So I'll leave it to Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that, he says, According to Rabbi Yechanan, there's no question. A pilgrim is definitely considered a barrier, and therefore he wouldn't be Yosef Kobin in our case of the year. It's a separate creature. And we know that. It's not. Because we learned in Menachos, if a person does offer a pilgrim as a Kobin, maybe all of Niske Ayel, he does have to bring in the Sachem of a ram for it. Even though it's not quite the age of a ram yet, but it's already, he has to bring the sachem of a ram. But the ein oila loy mizikhoi, but it doesn't count for his obligation of a korban because it's a barrier. So only once, so in other words, Rabbi Yechanan learns like this. When it discusses nisachim, the pasuk mentions, the amount that you bring for a sheep, and then it continues oila ayo, or for a ram, you bring X amount. The Rabbi Yechanan learns that the word oila ayo includes that a pilgrim gets the same nisachim as an ayo. The word oy la'ayel also comes to include a pill, says Rabbi Yechanan.
Where does he get that?
He gets that because you have oy la'ayel. Kevis is in a previous pasuk. Then it says, then the pasuk begins, oy la'ayel tafta mincha. So he says the extra word oy over there. She
instead of saying ayel.
Instead of, yeah, she says, yeah, la'ayel tafta mincha. So he says, so the pasuk is telling us that a special thing, that it does get the nesachim of an ayil. However, other than that, it is considered a barrier. Therefore, it's not. Therefore, he's not yotze it as a korban. Therefore, he's not yotze his neder with it as a korban. So therefore, so according to Amar Rav Yechanan, oila ayil adavus lafilris. So in fact, Rav Yechanan says on that the word oila ayil comes to include a filris. So according to Rav Yechanan, there's no question. In Rav Zeira's case over here, the person said, I'm going to bring a keves or an ayil, and he brings a pilgrim, definitely not Yosef, because it's definitely a barrier. The question Rav Zeira is asking is not according to Rav Yechanan. Rav Yechanan, would definitely say he's not Yosef.
Right.
The question rather would be, according to Bar Pada, who doesn't hold of this concept, but Bar Pada says over there that what you do is you bring the Nesachim over there, you bring the Nesachim of an ayil. One second. So what Bar Pada says over there, actually, what you do is you bring the Nesachim of an ayil and you make a tshnai. You say, if this behemoth is considered an ayil, then here is a Nesachim for it. If not, then whatever part of it is needed for the kebes is good, and whatever is extra will be for an adult. For birds, you don't have a stocking. No, for birds, there's no. For birds, it was a different thing. Either it was a barrier or it's a stocking. Right, that's the question. According to Bapada, you have basically a stocking over here. So you have a stocking, whether a pilgrim is an aisle or a canvas. So therefore, there's a stocking what in a stocking it should have. He doesn't learn from the word oil aisle. In fact, the Gemara asks on Bar Pada over there, what would he do with the word oi? And the Gemara leaves it unresolved. So according to him, what you would do again is you would bring in the sachem of an ayil, but only with a tsnai. So therefore, the question is, what is he saying? What is the essential deal of a pilgrim? The Amar Maisi Umasni. He says, you bring in the sachem of an ayil, and you make a tsnai, that if it's an ayil, then here it's a sachem, and if not, then the part of it that's supposed to be for a keves should be for a keves, and the rest of it will be in the job.
It's interesting, because we just had the same problem before, and he said you cannot make a tsnai.
Hold on. You were talking about a tsnai as far as the sachem.
Yeah.
Where did you say before that you can't make a tsnai?
We said it when it was... Let me see if I can...
I mean, we weren't talking about snowing at all over here. No, of course you can't make a tsnai with those. Nobody mentioned any snowing in connection with those. Of course, they're for the apostle, period. Nobody said anything. I'll figure it out afterwards. Okay. Let's continue over here. Okay. So, again, according to Bar Pada, that a pilgrim is a suffix. So the question is, what is the source of this suffix? Me and Rin and I of a Kevis Masna, the burial of Masna. Do we say like this? We didn't make any snide about that. We said that hold on. We didn't talk about anything about snide over here. We said the person, conceivably, if it's a speaker, he should bring the both birds.
Right.
One or the other of them is going to be kosher with a pilgrim, and therefore he's yoked as native. So here, according to Bar Pada, we would say a pilgrim is either a Kevis or an isle. Therefore, he brings with it the nesachim of an isle, makes the appropriate snide. And therefore, then the carbon is kosher. But is that, you can do that, I over kevis masna, the burial of masna? Fine, you have to bring an aisle or you have to bring a kevis. So therefore, you can say, if this is an aisle, here's an asachim for it. If it's a kevis, then not. a dilma, but the burial like that. Yeah? But maybe when it comes to a burial, maybe when it comes to it, maybe the pilgrim itself, because as a pilgrim, Gartaba does not hold of oil ayo meaning of pilgrim. So therefore, according to him, there's no source in the prophet for what nesachim a pilgrim should be.
One second.
The question is like, if you say that it's a sophic, then you can bring nesachim with it. Because if it's an ayo, then it needs nesachim. If it's a kevis, it needs nesachim.
Right.
But if it's a berry, it doesn't need nesachim. So therefore, maybe you can't make the shnai. A dilma a berry nami masna, or maybe you can make a three-way shnai. Maybe you can make a three-way shnai. The omer e berry haver la have a kol and a dama. He would say like this. If it's an ayol, then the whole then here is the two esroinim and the four logim and the four logim and the whole thing is for its minchas nesachim. If it's a keves, then 1, 3, and 3 is for the minchas nesachim and the rest will be voluntary. And if it's a pilgrim, if it's a beria, if it's a beria, if it's a whole different entity, then the whole minchas nesachim will be an adava. Maybe. So that's the question. Therefore, according to Barpada, So according to Rav Chaya, you have two questions. Therefore, number one, if you bring a pilgrim, when you bring a sachem with it, can you and make that three way tonight or not? According to Rav Chaya, nothing. There's no pasuk that tells us that a pilgrim gets a sachem. Rav Yechanan says you bring two, four, four, because Oyla teaches us to get the sachem of an ayah. But according to him, it's a berry. The Torah is telling us specifically, you should know, that beria gets the nesachim of an ayah. But Barpada, who doesn't hold, Barpada, does he hold it's a beria or not? Does he hold it's a beria? And therefore, you can make a three-way tanai, if it's a tevet, if it's an ayah, or if it's a pilgrim, or do we say that it's not, or do we say it's not a beria, it's a suffix, tevet or ayah, and therefore you only need a two-way tanai.
But if it's a beria, the pasuk mentions ayah. So therefore,
you could bring it as a carbon, but you don't bring the sachem. It doesn't say. Yeah.
So that's what he holds.
Well, that's the question. No, Barpada definitely holds that a pilgrim doesn't get the sachem.
Right.
The question is, well, in and of itself, let's put it this way, in and of itself, a pilgrim wouldn't get the sachem. On the other hand, you have a suffix, whether it's an ayah or a kevah.
Right.
So that's the question, basically. Would Barpada say that a pilgrim is a beria? And therefore, if you're going to be bringing the sachem with it, you're going to have to make a three-way tonight. One if it's a kevis, one if it's an ayol, or one if it's a pilgrim, and therefore gets nothing. Or you would say, definitely not a beria, either a kevis or an ayol. There's no such in-between thing. So in terms of Rav Zeira's question, the question would be, he said I'm going to bring a kevis or an ayol when he brings a pilgrim. Is it that it's either a kevis or an ayol, so one way or the other he's yoseh, or is it neither a kevis nor an ayol, therefore he's not yoseh?
And he brings nothing.
Forget about bringing nothing. The point is, he wouldn't be yoseh to his nether. Yeah, I'm not. And the answer is Keiko, again, it's doubtful, so we don't know, and therefore we can't say that he's yoseh to his cousin.
What's the difference between a pilgrim and a
nadi? The difference is like this. Okay, so since you asked, thank you, there are actually a few different explanations in Rishonim. No, it's not a question of physically. It's not a question of physically, it's a question of age. That is physically, but it's not necessarily a visible difference. It's a difference of age. According to Rashi, during its first year, until its first birthday, it's a kevis. From 13 months old and onward, throughout the rest of its second year, it's an ayah. That 13th month is when it's a pilgrim. That's according to Rashi. The Rambam, at least on the surface, the Rambam's expression, he mentions Yom HaShloshim, so he seems to say that only on the last day of the 13th month does it become a pilgrim. According to the Rambam, the first 13 months is a kevis, the first 12 months and 29 days is a kevis, the 30th day of the 13th month is a pilgrim, and then the next day after that is an ayah.
Yes, if he had made such a nether, why can't he wait until it becomes a pilgrim?
Well, if he waits until it becomes an ayah, then there's no problem. The question is, he's macrovir the pilgrim. What do you do? Yeah. That's Rav Zeira's question. If he didn't want to wait, he brought it right then. And you can imagine, for example, let's say he's oilal l'regel now, for Pesach or Shavuot or Sukkot, if I don't bring this carbon now, I'm not going to have a chance to later until next Yom Kippur or whatever. So he goes ahead and does it, and yeah. Okay. So according to Rashi, it's a pilgrim the entire 13th month. The surface meaning of the Rambam is only a pilgrim for one day, the last day of the 13th month.
My first thing is about when he's a pilgrim.
Yeah. So, and you have some of the notes that Kalim understand that I'm on that way. Others understand him to be saying basically the same thing as Rashi, the entire 13th month. And Rabbeinu Gershom on the Gemara over here uses the expression that a pilgus is when it's a year and a half old. Okay, so you have different understandings that are showing him what exactly a pilgus is. But okay, when Mashiach comes, then the Sanhedrin will follow. So, again, usually when we talk about halacha, first of all, in these kinds of things, I mean, Hilchos HaMashiach, it's a halacha that's only going to be applicable when Mashiach comes. We don't know. We don't have anybody recording from that time whether what the definition of a pilgrim was. I mean, you have the different explanations, but yeah. So therefore, so it's one of those things. It's Hilchos HaMashiach. It's a halacha that will be decided by the Sanhedrin when Mashiach comes, because right now it's not applicable anyway. Right now, the major postic, the only postic who systematically passed some things about loss of love is the Rambam. But depending how you learn the Rambam, it's either going to be the 30th day or the entire
30th.
Not necessarily, right. But at least as far as we know right now, then that is the established halacha. Okay. Fair enough. Well, we'll continue. So the Gemara is going to continue tomorrow with one more such case where you have something like that. Again, something that's sort of an in-between state, and what would be the dinim of it? I know a similar question of Rebbeira in connection, not in connection with animals, but in connection with chametz versus matzah.
Oh.
So we'll take it up tomorrow.
Yeah.